Hi, Year 11s. It's time for part two. So I'm going to be going through question four now. I've enlisted the help of my sister, so I'm going to teach her how to answer question four. And then hopefully I'll be teaching you at the same time. So let's have a look at question four then. At this point, might I add that if you haven't already, make sure you've listened to part one and you've done questions one, two, and three, and you've done your self-assessment in the packs for each of those questions. See what sort of marks you're getting in that 20-minute timer that you should have done. So questions one to three are out of 20, and question four is out of 20. It's all on its own. So we need to really take care with this question, make sure that we've given ourselves enough time. So, for this answer, you need to consider the whole text. A reader of this extract said, "Zen is intimidated and afraid of the drone." To what extent do you agree? In your response, you could consider your own impressions of Zen, evaluate how the writer shows that Zen is intimidated and afraid, and support your responses with references from the text. So, Sophie, she's stuffing her face with shortbread right now. This is a 20 mark question, and what they have to do basically, they've already looked at the extract in the first couple of questions, but this is the big one to show that they've understood how the character's been developed basically.
Okay.
And they'll give them a fairly generic sentence about that a student has said or a reader has said, and they have to agree or disagree. You normally agree, but I think in this case you could perhaps disagree as well, but the most important thing obviously is to show off that they can back up their claims with quotes. So if you could put your shortbread down for a minute, I'm just going to have you read through the extract, and I'm going to stop you at various points to see if we can find anything, highlight anything that's relevant to him being intimidated and afraid of the drone. So listeners, when you're doing this, can you make sure that you've got your highlighters ready and that you're following the extract in your packs so that you can also be going through, because we might not get everything, you know, we're both amateurs. Okay. There's a look of serious bewilderment on my sister's face now. Can you not pronounce words?
Ambercise station?
Yeah, I was calling it. I don't know what I was calling it.
Grand and high-fronted, like a great theatre, with the K-Ban logo hanging over its entrance in letters of blue fire. Booming loudspeaker voices reciting litanies of stations. Moths and monk bugs swarming under the lamps outside. Beggars and street kids too. And buskers and vendors selling fruit and chai and noodles, and rickshaw captains squabbling as they touted for fares. Through the din and chatter came the sound of the train. Zen went through the entrance barriers and ran out onto the platform. The express was just pulling in.
Can I just stop you there? So I think the fact that he's running is relevant. If we look at this, we can see the little extract at the top bit here. It gives you clues that there's a drone following him. Because it says that he's a thief. Okay. So anyway, so you might want to think about the verb ran. That's interesting. Carry on.
The express was just pulling in. First, the huge loco, a Helden hammerhead, its long hull sheathed in shining red-gold scales. Then a line of lit windows and a pair of station angels flickering along the carriage sides like stray rainbows. Some tourists standing next to them pointed at them and snapped pictures which wouldn't come out. Zen kept his place in the scrum of other K-Barn travellers.
Okay, sorry, I'm just going to stop you there. So we've already been through this paragraph with question two, and we talked about, you know, kind of it seems quite magical, and then I also mentioned the idea of the hammerhead shark, and so perhaps these ideas do show that he is in some sort of danger and that maybe this is his escape, which could obviously, from that you could infer that he's slightly intimidated by the drone, although we've not yet met it. Carry on.
Zen kept his place in the scrum of other K-Barn travellers, itching to look behind him, but knowing that he mustn't, because if the drone was there, it would be watching for just that.
Okay, so I think we've got the first real useful piece of evidence here. Itching to look behind him. So when you're itching, it's normally you're uncomfortable. Well done, Soph. Anxious. It's not something pleasant. No, it's not a pleasant verb, and it's not something you do when you're relaxed and calm. And also the idea of looking behind, looking over your shoulder. What else does it say?
Well, just after this, it says the drone would be looking for a face turned back, a look of guilt.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So again, a face turned back, a look of guilt. The idea that the drone is looking specifically for him perhaps will show that he is intimidated by it. Continue.
The doors slid open. He shoved past disembarking passengers.
Oh, right. Stop you right there. Must I first say what a beautiful reading voice you've got, Sophie.
I know, thank you. Catherine.
You can't call me Catherine. Anyway, shoved. He's that sense of urgency. He needs to get on this train. He needs to get out of sight of the drone. Okay, so it's a forceful verb. Continue.
He shoved past disembarking passengers into a carriage. It smelled of something sweet. As if the train had come from some world where it was springtime.
Oh, okay, rescue. Magical. His safe haven from the drone. I might be reading too much into this.
Then found a window seat and sat there looking at his feet, at the ceramic floor, at the patterns on the worn seat coverings, anywhere but out of the window, which was where he most wanted to look.
Okay, so we've got that sense of sort of foreboding growing there, that he can't look, he can't bring himself to look.
Carry on. His fellow passengers were commuters and a few motorist couriers, with their android brains stuffed full of information for businesses further down the line. In the seats opposite, Zen lounged a couple of rich kids, railheads from Kumbasi, or Galagast, pretty as 3D stars, dozing with their arms around each other. Zen thought about taking their bags with him when he got off, but his luck was glitchy tonight and he decided not to risk it.
Okay, yeah, so again we've got, he talks about his luck being glitchy, which shows that maybe it's flawed. Like if you think of your phone, this is the only thing I can think of having a glitch, but you know when your phone sort of restarts itself and it's not working quite as normal. So again, this could show that he's perhaps intimidated. He's not his usual comfortable self, slightly out of the ordinary, perhaps because of the presence of the drone. So that might be an interesting piece of evidence to use.
The train began to move so smoothly that he barely noticed. Then the lights of Amberside Station were falling behind. The throb of the engine was rising, the backbeat of the wheels quickening. Zen risked a glance at the window.
Ooh, good. Nice. Risked a glance. So the risk, again, it's obviously showing that he's slightly intimidated, but also the use of glance, it's this quick thing that you only really... Whenever writers use glance, it's normally associated with a sense of danger.
At first, it was hard to make out anything in the confusion of carriage reflections and the city lights sliding by outside. Then he saw the drone again.
Oh, so that simple sentence bringing us back to reality. He's had kind of the relaxed, now that he's sitting on the train and things seem to be normal, but then back to reality where we've got that drone inserted again.
It was keeping pace with the train, shards of light shining, sliding from its rotor blades as it burred along at window height, aiming a whole spider cluster of eyes and cameras and who knew what at him.
Okay, so we've got quite a lot there that we could use. The metaphor of spider cluster, spiders again, frightening. We've got the rotor blades, knives, death, not nice things. The idea of eyes watching you, it's as if really that this drone has a mind of its own, which kind of adds to it. So there's like a sense of personification of the drone, giving it power, and again, showing his intimidation. Continue.
The train rushed into a tunnel, and he could see nothing anymore except his own skinny reflection, wide cheekbones fluttering with the movement of the carriage, eyes big and empty as the eyes on moth's wings.
Okay, so I think that's showing the physical implications that his fear is having. You know, the idea of him being wide-eyed and gaunt. I'm almost picturing sort of a skeletal look as he's looking in the reflection. You know, quite often people, you know, might look like this if they are afraid.
Continue. The train accelerated, the noise rising until, with a soundless bang, a kind of unbang, it tore through the K gate and everything got reassuringly weird. For a timeless moment, Zen was outside of the universe. There was a sense of falling, although there was no longer any down to fall to. Something that was not quite light blazed in through the blank windows. Then another unbang, and the train was sliding out of another ordinary tunnel, slowly towards another everyday station. It was bright daytime on this world, and the gravity was lower. Zen relaxed into his seat, grinning.
Is that the end?
No.
Okay.
I thought that was a good point. He was imagining that drone turning away in defeat from the empty tunnel on Ambersite, 1,000 light years away.
Yeah. And so we've got there at the end of the extract. So hopefully you will have picked up on this when you did your structure question. We've had the tension build and build. And then after this kind of climax where he seems to have moved to this other universe, he can now relax. And so that intimidation of the drone is something that's left behind in the first sort of three quarters of the extract, and by the end he certainly isn't feeling it. Right, if we go back to question four then, and we're going to have a look at how we can best answer this after rereading the extract. Just waiting for my assistant to hand it to me. So to what extent do we agree that he's intimidated and afraid of the drone? What do you think?
Definitely seems like he's intimidated by the drone. Running onto the train, wanting to glance behind him to see if he's being followed.
Yeah.
Those aren't things you do if you're not worried.
Yeah, definitely. So his physical manifestations as on the...
And also his relief when he then got to the other
very
planet.
Good. Yeah, I don't really know. I've not read the story. But yeah, that the fact that there is that climax shows that there's been tension, and there wouldn't have been tension if he hadn't been intimidated by it. So I definitely think that the writer has shown that Zen is intimidated through numerous language techniques. In particular, the verbs that he uses. He uses the metaphor when he actually describes the drone, and all the connotations of different words like blades can kind of build quite a foreboding picture. So you want to have lots of those, ideally micro quotes, built into your answer. The other part says, consider your own impressions of Zen. What do you make of him, this character? I know you don't know, you only have an extract, but... What do you think?
Well, from it saying that he's a thief, I'm guessing that maybe he's in trouble, maybe he's stolen something.
I definitely think there's that like guilt element. I think he seems quite I don't know, he certainly seems quite anxious but then very relieved, like he thinks he's definitely gotten away with it when he arrives in that other planet. But yeah, I think all in all, you want to agree with what they've said, that he's intimidated and afraid of the drone. But then perhaps at the end of the extract, you can discuss his relief and, you know, the impression that you might have that perhaps he thinks that the threat is over. So as we read through, hopefully you were able to highlight some of the things or annotate some of the things that we said that show his intimidation. And I would give yourself about 15 to 20 minutes max to write up this answer. Remember, you want to make sure that you are embedding your quotes. Try and embed as many as possible to really back up and support what you're saying. Interpret what you think about him being intimidated. So you don't have to use those exact words over and over. You can talk about how he's afraid, how he seems on edge. Zoom in on the writer's methods. Remember, these are the quizzes that we do in lessons all the time. Things like pathetic fallacy, things like metaphors, similes, juxtaposition, personification. you should know these. If not, have a quick refresher, go through your books, and see if there's any of these that you can spot. And make sure that you give your own ideas. Maybe you could make some predictions about what's going to happen, what the significance is of the drone, and the character. Good luck. And once your time has stopped, so between 15 and 20 minutes, go through to the self-assess and check that you've done all the things you needed to do. Okay, remember, this is a timed practice, so it's really important that you don't waste time with telling me the writer uses a number of different techniques to blah, blah, blah. Get straight to it, okay? Answer that question in every paragraph. Okay, good luck.
Good luck.